Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring workplace productivity, communication, and collaboration with AI. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill. So imagine opening your inbox on like a random Monday morning.
Always a stressful experience.
Right. You've got this 40-message-deep email thread from the weekend, a massive spreadsheet of raw data you need to format, and a status meeting in exactly 10 minutes.
Yeah. A few years ago, you would just panic.
Oh, absolutely. You'd be frantically skimming, copying, pasting, just hoping you didn't miss some crucial detail from your boss.
But today, that dynamic is entirely different. Today, a digital assistant has, you know, already summarized that entire thread into three clean bullet points.
Right.
It's formatted the data into a readable chart and prepped your talking points for the meeting before you even had, like, your first sip of coffee.
It's wild. But that is the reality we are stepping into right now.
It really is. We are looking at a fundamental rewiring of the workday. I mean, interacting with AI productivity assistants or setting up automated workflows, it isn't just some niche technical skill anymore.
No, it's not just for the IT department.
Exactly. Definitely not. If we look back historically, this is very similar to the transition from the typewriter to the personal computer.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Yeah, because the computer didn't just change how fast we could type, right? It completely changed how we structured, edited, and shared information across an office. And AI is doing the exact same thing, but to our cognitive tasks.
And if you are a university student or a young professional listening to this deep dive, you are looking down the barrel of that digitally enabled future.
Mm-hmm.
Every single organization is adopting these systems for communication, reporting, and, you know, workflow efficiency. So when we talk about this improving your employability, let's ground that in reality.
It's basically the difference between your resume ending up in the maybe pile versus the we need to hire this person today pile.
Exactly. When you understand workplace AI, you signal to employers that you have digital confidence. You don't just freeze up when a new tool is introduced.
Which really brings us to the three core concepts reshaping how society approaches work right now. First, we have AI productivity, which is your baseline workflow efficiency. Then AI communication support.
Like using these systems to draft, summarize, translate, and plan.
Right, exactly. And finally, collaborative AI use, which is how teams collectively integrate these systems to achieve a shared goal.
I want to pause on that first piece, though, the baseline productivity, because I think a lot of people misunderstand what this actually looks like in practice.
Yeah, they think it's just a software update.
Right. It sounds less like upgrading your software, you know, moving from Word 2019 to Word 2023, and more like hiring a highly efficient yet very literal digital intern.
The digital intern is actually the perfect way to conceptualize this, because an intern can do incredible amounts of groundwork, but you have to give them highly specific instructions.
Mm-hmm. You can't just say, do my job.
No, exactly. You have to review their output, and you are ultimately the one integrating their work into the broader project.
So we are moving from an era of creation to an era of curation.
Yes.
The bulk of your value is no longer in, like, generating the rough first draft of a report or pulling the data manually.
Yeah.
Your real value is in your editorial eye.
Your ability to review what the digital intern produced, spot the strategic gaps, and refine it. That paradigm shift from creation to curation is profound.
It really changes everything.
Think about how much cognitive energy we currently waste just getting bogged down in repetitive digital tasks.
Oh, so much. Searching for an old email to grab a specific metric.
Or copying action items from a meeting transcript into a task manager, reformatting a presentation slide.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
The digital intern takes on that busy work. It shifts human focus toward managing the broader organizational workflow. You transition from being the person moving the data to the person interpreting the data.
I see the theoretical value there, definitely. But let's move to the concrete tools for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at platforms like Microsoft Copilot, Notion AI, and Zapier.
Right, the big players.
And giving a young professional access to these is great, but I've tried some of these tools, and they can absolutely make a mess.
Oh, they definitely can.
I remember the first time I tried to use an AI to summarize a really chaotic meeting transcript. It completely hallucinated a promised deadline for a major project that literally no one agreed to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was a terrifying lesson. So how are we supposed to actually use these in real situations, without just generating robotic or factually incorrect garbage.
Well, you've hit on the core difference between having access to a tool and actually understanding its mechanisms.
Right.
Let's break down how something like Copilot or Notion AI actually functions when, say, drafting an email. You don't just sit down and type, write an email to my boss about the marketing project.
Because it doesn't know what the project is.
Exactly. The AI has no context for that. It will guess, and it will likely guess wrong, leading to those hallucinations you mentioned.
So you have to overcome the blank page by providing the scaffolding.
Precisely. You provide bullet points, like draft an email to the marketing team, summarize our Q3 goals, ask for their specific budget input by Friday, and keep the tone professional but encouraging.
Oh, okay. Giving you the exact parameters.
Yes, because the mechanism here is pattern recognition. The AI uses its vast training data to string those concepts together in a coherent professional structure.
But it doesn't know your Q3 goals are accurate.
No, it just knows how to format them based on your prompt. That's where your editorial eye comes in. You refine the intern's work.
And the summarization feature works similarly, right? Instead of spending 45 minutes reading a 20 message back and forth, you just feed it the thread.
Right. And it stands for keywords, action verbs, and outstanding questions, and bubbles those to the top.
Now let's look at Zapier, because that operates on a completely different mechanism.
It does. Zapier is not a generative AI that writes text. It is an automation platform.
I've always struggled to visualize Zapier, honestly. Like, I know it connects apps, but how does it actually function day to day?
Okay, think of Zapier less like an intern and more like a digital conveyor belt in a factory.
A conveyor belt, okay.
Yeah. You only have to build the factory line once. It operates on a very simple logic called triggers and actions, or if this, then that.
So if something happens in one app, then it triggers an action in another app.
Yes. Let's say you get an email with an invoice attached. The trigger is the arrival of an email labeled invoice in Gmail.
Got it.
The conveyor belt activates, action one. Zapier automatically pulls the attachment and saves it to a specific Google Drive folder, action two. Zapier pings your team's Slack channel with a message saying, new invoice received and filed from vendor X.
Wait, really? No human being had to download, drag, drop, or type a single thing.
None of it. The connective tissue of the workflow is entirely automated.
That makes so much sense. You set the rules of the conveyor belt, and as long as the inputs follow the rules, the busy work just handles itself.
Exactly.
But, you know, individual efficiency only gets us so far. What happens when an entire team gets their hands on these conveyor belts and digital interns?
That's where things get really interesting.
Because understanding how to prompt Copilot alone at your desk doesn't solve the problem of team collaboration.
No, it doesn't. And that brings us directly to the future workplace scenario. I want to look closely at the internship case study from the lesson.
Oh, yes. The reporting team.
Right. We had a group of young professionals, an internship team, tasked with weekly reporting, and they successfully improved their efficiency dramatically.
Not by just working longer hours, right?
No, by utilizing AI-assisted tools to summarize their meeting notes and organize their action items collaboratively.
Let's unpack the reality of that for a second, because anyone who has ever been a junior employee knows the absolute pain of being the designated note taker.
Oh, it's the worst.
Usually you are frantically typing in the corner of the room. You are sweating over capturing every single word, which means your entire cognitive load is dedicated to just transcription.
You aren't participating at all. You are just a human tape recorder.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do they change that?
In the case study, this team injected collaborative AI into that dynamic. They used an AI tool to handle the transcription.
Okay, so the AI is the tape recorder.
Right. But the crucial mechanism wasn't just recording the text. The AI was instructed to summarize the notes and extract the action items in real time. It identified who committed to what task and by what deadline.
Wow. This elevates the role of the entry-level worker instantly.
Instantly.
Because instead of the intern just taking the notes, they are managing the AI that takes the notes.
Yes. They are watching the AI's real-time summary, verifying its accuracy against the actual conversation happening in the room, and immediately moving to strategy.
Like, okay, the AI logged that Sarah is handling the budget. Sarah, do you have what you need for that?
Exactly. It moves the individual from a passive recorder to an active workflow manager. And notice how this represents collaborative AI use.
It's not just one person in a silo.
No, this isn't one person secretly using a tool to finish their work early so they can browse the internet. The entire team is collectively relying on the system. They all trust the conveyor belt.
But Introducing this much power and automation into a professional environment immediately raises some massive red flags for me.
Sure, like what?
We have to pivot to the ethical guardrails, specifically accountability. Because if the AI is drafting the communication, organizing the workflow, and summarizing the meeting, who is actually on the hook if something goes wrong?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right. Like, if that automated Zapier conveyor belt misfiles a crucial invoice, or the AI hallucinates a deadline like it did for me, who takes the blame?
This is perhaps the most vital concept for anyone entering the workforce today to understand. Human accountability remains essential.
So it's me.
It's you. You, the human being, are always on the hook. Always.
Even if the AI generated the error without my explicit input?
Yes, because the AI is a tool, not an employee. It has no legal or professional standing. Let's expand on a really simple analogy. A calculator.
Okay.
If you are doing your taxes and you use a calculator to multiply your income, but you accidentally type in an extra zero...
You don't get to blame the calculator when the government audits you.
Exactly. The tool performed its function based on your input and oversight. The IRS doesn't care that your calculator malfunctioned or that you pressed the wrong button.
You are the final filter. I mean, you wouldn't let an intern send an email to the CEO without reading it first, so you definitely cannot let a generative AI hit send on a client proposal without reviewing every single word.
The modern workplace highly encourages automating repetitive tasks, but it demands you do so responsibly. And a huge part of that responsibility is transparency.
Transparency, right.
Collaborating transparently is the bedrock of maintaining professionalism in a digital age.
If you're listening, you might be wondering what transparency actually sounds like in practice, though. Because saying, hey, boss, I didn't write this, ChatGPT did, feels like confessing to a crime.
It does feel like that at first.
How do you admit to using these tools without undermining your own value?
Transparency isn't about making a confession. It's about establishing standard operating procedures. Context matters.
Give me an example.
Okay, if you are submitting a comprehensive weekly report, transparency means saying something like, I use Notion AI to help structure the initial outline and pull the raw data sets together, and then I spent the afternoon analyzing those findings and writing the final strategic conclusions.
Oh, I see. You're owning your process.
Yes. You are demonstrating that you used company-approved tools to eliminate busy work, which freed up your cognitive energy to do the high-level analysis they actually hired you to do.
Which makes you look incredibly efficient.
Exactly. When your team knows how you work, they trust the output. The tool stops being a magic trick and becomes a documented part of the workflow.
So we understand the tools, we understand the mechanisms like triggers and actions, and we've established the ethical boundaries of accountability and transparency.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to look at practical growth. The application activity for this lesson involves designing a workplace productivity workflow.
Mm.
And I have to be honest.
It's intimidating.
Very.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this on your commute right now, you might be thinking, I don't even have time to learn a new interface, let alone design a comprehensive automated workflow for my entire job.
Right.
It sounds completely overwhelming. Where do you even begin?
Feeling overwhelmed is the most common barrier to entry, and it's highly justified. If you try to automate your entire professional life by tomorrow morning, the system will break.
Yeah, and you'll just get frustrated.
And you will revert to doing things the hard way. My primary advice is to start incredibly small by focusing on a single point of friction.
So look at the areas we discussed. Planning, communication, scheduling, reporting, task management, and just pick one pain point.
Find the one thing that drains your energy the most. Let's say it's scheduling.
Ugh, the back and forth emails.
You waste hours a week emailing people back and forth saying, does Tuesday at 2 p.m. work? No. How about Wednesday at 10 a.m.? Start there.
So just tackle that one thing.
Find an AI scheduling assistant or build a very simple Zapier automation that connects your calendar to a booking link. Spend 1 week just getting comfortable with that single digital conveyor belt.
Stack your habits. Once scheduling is handled and the friction is gone, you have more time.
Exactly.
You can use that newly freed time to look at communication.
Mm.
Maybe you start using Copilot just to generate outlines for your weekly update emails.
By building your automated workflows gradually, you learn the quirks of the systems in low-stakes environments. You learn how the AI misunderstands certain prompts.
Or how a Zapier trigger might accidentally fire twice if you aren't careful.
Right. You build that digital confidence safely, so when you are that intern tasked with managing the AI for a high-stakes executive meeting, you know exactly what the tool can and cannot do.
You aren't trying to be a master programmer overnight. You are just learning to be a curious, careful manager of your own digital tools.
That's the mindset you need.
And I think that brings this entire deep dive into focus. The landscape of work is changing rapidly. The tools we rely on today might look completely different in a few years.
They absolutely will. Copilot, Notion AI, Zapier, they are just the current iterations. They will evolve or they will be replaced.
But the underlying philosophy.
Right. The ability to look at a new technology, understand its mechanisms, apply it to a workflow, and take human accountability for the output. That is the ultimate future-proof skill.
To help you lock in that mindset, I want to present the final reflection prompt from the lesson for you to mull over as you go about the rest of your day.
It's a really important one.
The prompt is, how can AI improve workplace productivity while maintaining professionalism and accountability?
That really is the defining question for the next decade of our digital lives. Balancing the incredible drive for AI-powered efficiency with a steadfast commitment to human professionalism.
It's a delicate balance.
It is, but navigating that balance is the true key to lifelong learning and adaptability.
We want to encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future-ready. Keep experimenting with these tools. Look for those small friction points you can automate, but always keep your hands on the steering wheel.
It's the only way to build true confidence in this space.
As a quick reminder, make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities.
Putting these concepts into practice is how they actually stick.
And if you want to explore the underlying philosophies and strategies of everything we've discussed today, we highly recommend checking out the reference materials.
Yes, definitely.
Specifically, look up the books Co-Intelligence, The Future of Work, and The Effective Executive. They offer brilliant frameworks for navigating this transition.
Absolutely essential reading. Thank you for exploring these massive shifts with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you leave this conversation feeling prepared, adaptable, and ready to take on the future of work. Until next time.